Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would add your blessing, please, upon the preaching of your word. And dear God, help this preacher tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll arrest our attention, dear God. Much of the instruction that we find in this portion of Scripture, it should not surprise us that in a very diabolical way, the culture fights against each and every one of these attributes. And Lord, not only are they not followed, sometimes they're held in disdain. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be a called out people, a peculiar people, dear God, that we would honor the words of God despite the opinions of those that have turned their back on God. And Lord, that we would live a life that would be pleasing to you and obedient to your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says that the aged women are to be involved in this idea of training and teaching the young women in certain character traits of their life, and then also in their responsibilities towards the family and towards their home. If you look in verse 4, that they may teach the women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Four of those things are very specific character traits. We taught on them last week: sober, discreet, chaste, and good. Tonight, we're going to focus on the other four that have to do with the attention to the family, to the husband, to the children, keepers at home, this relationship and emphasis when it comes to the family. And so tonight we're going to preach on young ladies and the home and go through these four character traits and teach them and encourage our young ladies to be obedient to the scripture. The Bible says the first responsibility given in this matter of the home is to love their husbands, to love their husbands. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, this word loved talks about and speaks about the idea of affection. A Christian lady ought to love her husband, be affectionate to her husband. This should be expressed through true-hearted acts of thoughtfulness. I'm talking about doing things for your husband. This should be reflected in the words that you speak to your husband. This should be reflected through the simple reminders of your appreciation for all that he does for you. Now listen, wives, a wise young wife will lavish upon her husband the affection and appreciation. Let me say this. I want to teach you a little bit about young men, okay? Young men. Most young men, let me tell you what they want more than anything else. They want a wife that will support them. They want a wife that will root for them. They want a wife that will believe in them. They want a wife that will encourage them. I trust, just trust me, ladies, when they go out into this real world, they deal with enough negativity. They deal with enough criticism. They're put down plenty. You know what they need? They need a cheerleader. They need somebody that will root for them and believe in them and applaud them. You know what? If all of your husband ever hears from you, it's criticism, 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 criticism. Don't come to me and complain if he just throws up his hands at some point and say, no matter what I do, I'm never going to make her happy, so why even try? You know what? God created Eve to be that helpmeet, that one that goes with her husband, encourages her husband. What has God called your husband to do? What does he feel like God's laid on his heart to be and to accomplish in this life? Man, he needs somebody that believes in him and that supports him in that and that applauds him in his efforts and that is that voice of encouragement in his life. Also, let me say, and again, we understand we're not in the place where we can teach in depth on this, But a wise young wife will also, and all wives, should lavish upon their husband the physical attention that he needs. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us that in order to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The Bible goes on to teach us that the husband does not have power over his own body, nor does the wife have power over her own body. The Bible tells us that this is a thing that will help protect that marriage and help that marriage and will create that bond that will keep those two together. And so let me encourage you to love your husbands. Give him the respect he needs. You know, wives, the Bible talks about the wife needing the love of their husband. But the Bible also speaks in that same passage in Ephesians chapter 5 that and it tells the wife, see that you reverence your husband. And a man, more than he needs your love, he needs your respect. Let me say that again. More than he needs your love, he needs your respect. Very important. I'm going to tell you something. You find me a young man that maybe he doesn't have his act all the way together. And maybe in some areas he lacks some character. And maybe some areas he's a little mediocre. But I'm going to tell you what. You give that young man a wife that applauds him and encourages him and supports him and believes in him. And you'll watch a young man accomplish things that he never would have done without that wife that God gave him. Ladies, young ladies, love your husbands. Love your husbands and be that encouragement to him. The Bible says, number two, that a young lady's responsibility, and the older women, the aged women, are to help teach the young women this, and that is in this matter of loving their children. Now, this Bible command encourages young mothers to activate what God's put within your heart. God's already given you. You've got a God-given maternal love and maternal affection for your children. And in a biblically structured home, the mother has the chief responsibility to carry out the day-to-day rearing of the children. Let me say that again. In a biblically structured home, the mother has the chief responsibility to carry out the day-to-day rearing of the children. Folks, we've switched this thing around. The devil switched it around. Let me say, first of all, that there's a lot of young men. Young ladies, you better listen to me. There's a lot of young men out there that have one goal. They want to find a woman that will work and support them so they can sit home all day and play video games. I'm talking about this is more and more the culture. They want the wife to work a job, or if she has to, work two jobs. And you know what he'll do? He'll say, well, I'll stay home and be Mr. Mom. He really is just home playing all of his video games. But let me tell you something, young man. You were not created with a maternal instinct. And you are not equipped to raise children the way a mother raises children. And so I'm telling you, we can follow the world's pattern. We can turn our back on it. We can believe the lies of the 1970s when women were liberated. We've got a new country and a new America and a new idea. But I'm telling you that the Bible still works. And God created women to have the chief responsibility in carrying out the day-to-day rearing of the children. Now, it might seem strange to some of you that God would instruct the aged women to teach the young women to love their children. You say, preacher, that's just built-in women. But in this, I will tell you this, in this day of unnatural affection, many young mothers have come to view children as an inconvenience, as a restriction against what they want to do and who they want to be. Many times you see young mothers with bitterness and impatience and even sometimes hostility in their hearts towards their children. The devil's corrupted that, because you know what? That's not of God. Listen, I believe that pure maternal love ought to flow unhindered from a young mother's heart to the heart of their children. And those children ought to feel that and know that. And you know what? You'd be surprised the stability that that brings into the life of a child. Little Jalen woke up with a fever this morning, and you know what? Last night she came down with a fever, and she slept in pretty late. And when I got home, she'd give her some medicine, put her back down. She's just in a daze. You know, kids just need to sleep. Finally, this afternoon, here she comes, wandering in the living room. And I tried to get her to come to me. She wouldn't have nothing to do with Papa. Usually, I can get that job done pretty easily. Grandma, forget it, you know. You know who she wanted? She's not feeling good. You know who she wanted? There's only one person that was going to make her happy. She wanted to crawl into the lap of mama. And I sit there and thought to myself, that girl will experience more healing in the lap of her mother than any other place she could be. And you know what, moms? That's it. That's what God's given you to do. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't. I don't care what the world sells you. Don't miss that. The little song that we sing every Sunday morning says, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. But let me say this. So does a Christian lady. She realizes that their care is a sacred and blessed responsibility. Hey, folks, children are a gift. They're the Lord's heritage entrusted to each generation. Psalms 127, verse 3 through 5, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about the rearing of our young ladies around here. Talk about our girls. As a girl becomes a young lady, you know what? You should seek out parents. You should seek out opportunities for her to work with children, to work with children. We've got a bunch of young ladies around here that's about in third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, driving me crazy right now. They're driving me crazy. I love this, by the way. I love it. I'm not going to change what I do, but I love that they want to. I mean, I've got third graders coming up begging to work in the nursery, little girls. I've got fourth graders begging to work in the nursery. I love that we're raising young ladies who love babies. That ought to be as natural as can be. I know that the world's telling you, don't buy them a doll, buy them a fire truck. But I'm telling you, you need to buy a fire truck or a Tonka toy for the boys and let them get out there and play with it and get that little girl a baby doll. Get her a baby doll. Now, sometimes she'll carry it around by the hair, but remember, she's learning. Be patient. Sometimes she carries it around by the feet, you know. Sometimes she mothers it, and then she sees something she wants and jumps up, and it lands on the floor. But this is how they learn. We give them plastic babies that don't die so that later on, they can learn to do it the right way, okay? But I love that. I love that. I love that. Listen, don't join into this effort to try to blur the lines of the genders. God's made women to be something. God's made men to be. The Bible's very clear, very specific. Preacher, that just isn't the way it is anymore. It is in a biblical home. It is in a Bible-preaching church. And you know what? You might want to take a look at the families and the mess and the confusion and all of the sin that's been produced ever since we decided that men were going to start being women and women were going to start being men. And so as a young lady, as a young girl becomes a young lady, let her seek out those opportunities. Seventh grade, we let them start working in the nursery, and I think that's a wonderful time of training for them. You know what? Young ladies, listen to me. Be a help at home. If God's allowed you to be one of the older sisters and you have a chance to help with the younger children, listen, don't look at that as a task to be resented, but as a training opportunity to be embraced, you know. I like the fact that young ladies can make some extra money. By the way, make some extra money in this and babysit from time to time. And I think that provides some practical experience for them. Also, maybe a source of income for a young lady. And it's a good opportunity for her. You know, I know you say, well, times have changed. But, man, my wife was babysitting when she was 10, 11, and 12 years old. And I know people maybe have a different perspective. But I'm telling you, by then, they ought to know how to care for children. They ought to know how to. Okay, volunteering to work in the church nursery, other children, local children, ministries, children's ministries in the local assembly. You know what? That helps our young ladies develop this trait of femininity. Femininity, a love for children. Femininity possesses a grace when interacting with children. Children, by the way, watch who children are drawn to. Watch which one of these young ladies that these children naturally want to go to. I'm going to tell you something, young men, that's something I'd keep an eye on. You know, a young lady that doesn't have any patience and doesn't want a thing to do with children, I'm not sure that's the one I want to be, the mother of my children. And so teaching them to love their children. Basic stuff, right? Well, you think these things would be no-brainers, but in this day and age, it almost sounds like I'm a heretic, that I'm teaching blasphemy according to the culture. But we're not too worried at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. what the culture teaches. We're worried about going to the Bible and seeing what it says. Number three, to be obedient. I just wanted to say that before I go to the next one. To be obedient to their own husbands. To be obedient to their own husbands. Now, liberal feminists have attacked the scriptural precepts of a wife obeying her husband. Oh, my goodness sakes. Can you imagine how that would go over on The View? Can you imagine that? The modern culture's thrown away almost every Bible principle for a successful home and marriage. So this shouldn't surprise us that this is the one of the main ones they're attacking. And by the way, again, the results have been catastrophic. The clear scriptural teaching of the wife living in obedience to her own husband, is inarguable. Not only that, the clear warning attached to the teaching should supply sufficient motivation for every Christian lady. Let's look at it again. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Watch this, obedient to their own husbands, comma, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Be not blasphemed. Blaspheming the word of God isn't a light thing. To willfully and stubbornly defy the wishes of your husband brings disrespect both to him and to the sacred scriptures. Remember, the husband-bride relationship is compared by God to the relationship between Christ and his church. Think about that, Christ and his church. Submission to your husband's authority should mirror the church's submission to our Savior. I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to have you see this because I want to give just brief instruction both to the husband and the wife concerning this, and I want you to be looking at the scripture when I do. Ephesians chapter number 5, and if you look at verse number 22, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I believe this. I believe that God always has set up in every relationship a human authority. You know what? God, in everything that he's ever created, he's put somebody in charge. My dad used to say, anything with two heads is a monster. And if God created it, it has a leader. If God created it, somewhere there's a sign that says the buck stops here. Somebody's got the final say. Okay, that's why when I hear of people going into business together, I would never recommend you ever going into business with somebody where it was a 50-50 partnership. You know why? But it can be 51-49. By the way, I wouldn't recommend too many times you ever go into a partnership, but I certainly wouldn't 50-50 partnership. You know why? Maybe 51-49, but sooner or later there's going to be something happen where there's going to be a disagreement and somebody's going to have the final say. And you know what, folks, listen to me. I preached a message years ago, probably ought to preach it again, entitled, Why My Wife Seldom Submits to Me. My wife seldom submits to me. I promoted that thing for a month. We had the largest Sunday night crowd in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you know what? Submission, watch this, is only necessary when two people don't agree about something. You say, well, I let my husband have his way 99% of the time. Well, 99% of the time, you probably agree with him, so you're not really letting him have his way. You know what? Your submission's not tested if you agree. Your submission's tested when you disagree, okay? When your husband then has to say, honey, I've listened to you, and I love you, and I appreciate your input, and I've prayed about it, but I really believe God wants us to do this. Now, young lady, right there, your spirituality is going to be tested, okay? Well, I just don't think he's right. I think that would be why the definition of submission, okay? You didn't submit to him if you agreed with him anyway. It's only when there is a disagreement, when there has to be something, somebody has to make a final decision. And so in order for God to settle this and keep things done orderly, you know what he said? Guess what, husbands? You have the final say. Wives, if you disagree, by the way, husbands, let me give you some instruction on this. I think you ought to listen to your wife's concerns if she has them concerning a decision. By the way, I don't think you ought to be so proud that if her concerns are valid, that you ought not to back up, and maybe you're not going to change your mind about doing it, but you might be a lot wiser in how you implement it or how you do it. Most wives are not trying to sabotage what you're doing. They're just trying to give you some cautions to make sure that you don't put yourself or the family at risk. That's okay. But ladies, listen to me. If it comes down to it, then young ladies should submit to the leadership of their husband and follow him, because that's what the Bible says. And if you don't do that, the Word of God gets blasphemed. Now, I want to say something again to the men. I think we all ought to remember that all human, I say this from time to time, but all human authority is limited authority. Okay, let me say it again. All human authority is limited authority. I like to use the pastorate about this time because I think it helps. You know what? God has given me limited authority here in the church. What do you mean? Well, Christ is the head of the church. Okay, but God's put somebody in charge. Somebody's got to have the sign, the buck stops here. But you know what? That responsibility weighs heavy on the heart or on the mind of somebody who is the leader. You may fight for that and think you want it. Wait, be careful what you wish for in life. Because you do understand that, or I should understand that, I have to also stand before the Lord one day in how I led this church. And if I get to the point where I'm leading the church, gentlemen, listen to this, I'm leading the church in a selfish way, wanting the church to do things because it best benefits me, then shame on me. And by the way, let me say this, all human authority is limited authority. You know what? You're encouraged to follow the leadership of your pastor. But if I were to circumvent the Bible, if I was to get up and begin to tell the church that they needed to begin to do things that were opposite of the scriptures, you answer me. Should you follow the scriptures, or should you follow a pastor who's telling you to go against the scriptures? The scriptures. You follow the scriptures. Well, guess what, sir? You are held to the same level of responsibility in your home. The Bible says in that verse, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, comma, as unto the Lord. By the way, same thing in this matter of parenting. You're not a God in your home. There's only one God. Let me say it again. You're not the God in your home. There's only one God. I had one man tell me one time, when it comes to my children, when as far as they're concerned, I am God. And I turned around and looked at him, pointed my finger in his face and said, no, sir, you are not God. You begin to, in whatever capacity God's given you leadership, if you get a God syndrome, if it goes to your head, if all of a sudden you think because you spink it, it's so, and you don't humbly lead in accordance to the scriptures, that means this, parents, I'm going to tell you, say it out loud. That means this. If you're telling your children to do something that's against the scriptures and they come ask me, I'm going to tell them it is better to obey God rather than man. Yes, sir. Amen. By the way, sir, if you're telling your wife to do something that's against the scriptures, first of all, shame on you. And secondly, do not get mad at me if I say to her, you should obey God rather than men. And by the way, isn't it easy to swallow that when it's the pastor? You know, nobody, man, everybody jumped on that, you know. If the pastor is telling us to do something, then we get these dads and these husbands that, again, get into these God syndromes. Now, sir, listen to me. You know what? You're to lead your family in accordance to the scriptures, in accordance to the Word of God. Parents, you are to lead those children, rear them up in the nurture and admonition of whatever you think of the Lord. Those children are a sacred trust. That wife, that good wife God's given you, that's a sacred trust. And you know, I'm saying this because I've just run into, and it's not often, it really isn't often, but every once in a while, I'll run into a boorish man who really inside is just an insecure little boy. And so the only way he can feel good about himself is bully his wife and bully his children. And he's got one place where he thinks he's got a Bible verse where people have to do whatever he says. Sir, come on now. All right, you need to get to an altar. You need to either get born again or you need to get some things straightened out between you and the Lord. Because you, listen, if I use the authority God's given me in this church in a selfish way just to destroy people and hurt people, shame on me. I'm supposed to be using this authority God's given me to the church to help the church to advance and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what your responsibilities are as a dad, and that's what your responsibility is as a husband. Now, I said all that, but I'm going to go back to what the Bible says. Ma'am, don't you hide behind a bunch of nonsense. I've watched young ladies try to spiritualize their rebellion. Okay, if your husband's not asking you to do anything that's unholy or unscriptural, then you know what? And you need to support it, and you need to get behind it. And you listen, if he comes up with an idea and you're not sure about it and you're a little hesitant about it. And by the way, sir, I hope that you have you don't have such an ego problem that you can't listen to your wife and listen to her input. Hey, ask Pilate whether or not he should have listened to his wife. Okay, but what I'm saying is this, you know what, if your husband comes up with something and you know what, he feels and prayed over it, and you know what, he feels very strongly the Lord wants him to do it, and you have some reservations about it, express those reservations. But if he comes back and says, this is what I really believe the Lord wants me to do, then man alive, get behind that thing and work that thing and do everything you can to make him a success at what he's decided to do. And by the way, I always say this to young wives, if he doesn't succeed in it, then that may be the defining moment of your marriage. I told you so. Well, you can take that route if you want to. Okay, but you're not helping him and you're not helping yourself. You say, "What? Well, how should I handle that then, preacher?" You ought to sit down with your husband and take him by both the hands and look him in the eye and say, you know what? I believe with all of my heart that you made the best decision. You took it before God. And you made the decision that at that time you thought was the best decision. And guess what? Nobody bats 1,000. And it's all right. And don't worry about it. Listen, I trust you. You realize what you just did for your husband? That will do more for your husband to cause him to be careful in his prayer and in his next decision than all of the nagging and berating and disrespect that you can heap on him, okay? Be wise enough to also be able to help your husband, not just when he's succeeded in life, but even sometimes when he's failed in life, all right? Be obedient to your own husband. Then the last thing that's taught here is this idea of being keepers at home. Let me have you turn back to the scripture there in Titus chapter number 2. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Here's the phrase, keepers at home. That word keepers has the idea of diligence. So treating the home as a diligent responsibility. As a Christian lady, you've been assigned by God. Listen to this. According to the scripture right here, you've been assigned by God to be the keeper of your home. What does that mean, preacher? That means you're responsible. Listen for what I'm going to say next. For the success and the organization and the efficiency and the spirit of your home. I want to say it again. Listen to me, all right? That means you are responsible for the success and organization and efficiency and spirit of your home. I don't think you can do that just on evenings and weekends. I'm just telling you, okay? This is a great and sacred trust. Home is to be the closest thing. Home is to be the closest thing to heaven on this earth. Now, wait a minute. We say that. But that means there's a huge responsibility that goes upon the shoulders of a young mother, because God has placed you as the keeper of this blessed haven to create that atmosphere for the rest of your family. Now, I want to break this down into different responsibilities. By the way, I didn't get this because I've ever been successful at it. Much of the things I'm going to share with you, I'm just going to tell you, I've learned by observation. I've watched my wife run a successful, organized, efficient, and happy home for all of these years and help me in the ministry and is coming a lot of times and volunteer in church things and keep me organized and work as secretary for our Christian school and work as a secretary for our church and work as a secretary, my personal secretary, okay? It can be done. Let me start where you ought to start. Start with this idea of self-maintenance and personal growth. Self-maintenance and personal growth. Now, first of all, it's kind of interesting here, but I'm starting with the responsibility that you have to yourself. Because listen, I don't believe it's selfish to make sure you're taking care of yourself. Because a young wife that doesn't take the time to take care of herself, self-maintenance, and also grow and learn, you know what? Pretty soon she's going to be frustrated. Okay, you can take care of everybody else, never take care of yourself, and pretty soon you're not taking care of anybody. And so I think this is a good place to start. What are you talking about? Self-maintenance. I'm talking about spiritual maintenance and growth. That's why I don't care how busy time gets, and this might mean that you have to set the alarm a little bit earlier, but you cannot, ladies, please, don't try to raise those babies, and don't try to do all that's involved in trying to help your husband and have a successful home without first having a time of morning devotions, Bible reading, and prayer. It's essential that you walk with the Lord. You've got to schedule a quiet few minutes. I'm going to say that again because most young ladies are dreaming of these three words. A quiet few minutes. Hard to find, isn't it? Once the day starts, imagine that. That's a dream. Quiet few minutes each morning, reading from God's word, seeking God's face, and asking God, prepare my heart to be a success in what you've made me to be. I'm talking about practical knowledge and encouragement. I believe every young mother ought to yearn to learn, okay? Those of you that looked at this and said, really, all we're going to get is a book, I worry about you. I want to tell you this, gentlemen, for the most part, ladies are much better readers than men. In our experience, if there's something on the table, your book table for ladies, it'll get bought out. And I want to congratulate our ladies because us men could learn something from this. But man alive, you know what? You ought to always be, anytime you get something that could be helpful, that could help you to be a better person and help you spiritually or help you to be a better wife or help you to learn a little bit more about organization, if you haven't read anything in the last year, you're not increasing, you're not growing, you're not getting better. Lose your know-it-all attitude. Be humble. Grab something. Read it. Get some ideas. Practical knowledge and encouragement. Seek out good books. Talk to ladies who are successful in different areas. Pick up some pointers here or there. I believe that it's so important in creating an atmosphere both for yourself and for your home. This idea of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Good music played in the home ministers to your soul, your spirit, your body. I think it's a wonderful thing for children to wake up in the morning and Christian music already be playing in the back. I'm talking about Christian music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm not talking about this Christian rock and roll and this Christian rap and all this other junk that's out there that's got the demons of hell attached to it. I'm talking about good Christian music that brings in the right type of peace and safeguards your home from evil influence, doesn't open doors for evil influence. I'm talking about taking care of yourself in this matter of physical exercise and a healthy diet. And I understand, you know, I did. I watched my wife go through that time of life and she's caring for the babies and it's such a busy time. But listen, let me say again, you have to spend some of that time on making sure that you're taking care of yourself. Decide to eat healthfully and in moderation. This will help you get to your target weight. Once you're there, you weigh yourself and you stay within 10 pounds. I mean, this is what we do, okay? You're on the low side, you splurge a little. If you're on the high side, no food fun for a while. And that's how you do it. That's how you do it. There's no secret diet, secret formula, secret pill. It's just called character, amen? And so self-maintenance and personal growth. And then this idea of being a keeper at home, being a helper and companion to your husband. Now, this is important, okay? One of the things, listen, I didn't put the kids next. I put your husband next, okay? I say this, you know, well, my children are the most important thing in my life. Well, that's why we have an altar. So you can come forward tonight and get right with God. Repent of that sin. Okay, wait a minute. God didn't look down in the Garden of Eden and see a baby crying that needed a diaper change and said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for that child. Those children are lent to you from the Lord. They're lent to you. They're not yours. They're lent to you. You're not raising them for you. If you're raising young ladies, you're not raising that young ladies for you. You're raising them for a husband. And they're going to leave one of these days and cleave, and they should. Okay? I'm not diminishing the importance of being a mother, but I'm saying I've watched ladies begin to have children. All of a sudden, their husband gets put on the back burner or ignored completely. They throw their life into being super mom. And then one of these days, 20, 25, 28 years later, those kids are all gone and they're married to a stranger because they circumvented the proper order and the original intent of their creation. Okay, so remember, God's created you to provide help and companionship to your husband. This is God's plan and purpose for your life. I'm going to say it again. This is God's plan and purpose for your life. What's that mean? That means hubby is number one. After God, hubby's number one. Do whatever is necessary to help him be successful in what God's called him to do. Let me give you a wonderful, we call it the wonderful magic question. I think as your husband is leaving for the day at work, the last thing that you ought to do, well, you ought to kiss him. And then after that, the last thing you ought to say to him before he leaves is this. Listen to me. What can I do for you today? What can I accomplish for you today? How can I help you today? How can I help you today? Hey, before you go, what can I do to help you today? All right? Did you get that question? That ought to be asked by every wife to every husband, every single. Are you a helpmeet? Then why is that question offensive to you? Well, I think he ought to be asking what he can do to help me. That's because you're a victim of a culture that is switching the genders. Okay, excuse me, ma'am, I'm going to be very honest with you here. You need to hear it. Too many wives are treating their husband as their helpmeet. He's supposed to be assisting them in being successful in what they are trying to do. God says, I made you to help him to be successful in what he's doing. And so there's a lot of times your husband's at work, he's busy, he can't get to certain places, he can't do certain things. Yeah, honestly, if you could go by and check in this, if you could call this person, get an answer about this, and if you could run by and get this from mom and dad's house, I've been trying to get over to get it picked up, we'll do it. We'll get it done for you. Not, well, that means that I've got to put the kids in the car seat and then put the kids in the car seat. Then do what you got to do. I mean, that's called being a helpmeet, companionship. Schedule your day around your husband's schedule. Well, I'm giving you so much good stuff here. Schedule your day around your husband's schedule. I said around your husband's schedule. Now, this, no matter what shift he works, you make yourself available to him when he gets home from work. Okay, the time to decide to run the vacuum cleaner is not when he finally gets home and puts his feet up. It's getting quiet in here, amen. All right. I mean, that you ought to work all day long so that when he comes in the door, it's a special time, it's a sweet time, it's a good time. All right. Engage him in conversation. Ask how his day went. Oh, preacher, I don't know about all this. Well, how's your marriage? And if I were to ask your husband, how happy is he really being married to you? Ask him how his day went. Be in a good mood when he comes home. The preacher, I'm telling you to fake it if you have to. Be in a good mood. Be engaging. Be affectionate. Make coming home the best part of his day. Wife come in, I don't know what's wrong with my husband. He gets off work. He don't come right home. He doesn't come home. He thinks of everything. I don't know. What's wrong? What's wrong? I wanted to get home to mama. I'm just telling you, I wanted to get home to mama. All right? Listen, make coming home the best part of his day. You know what? Wise is the mom that says to the kids, all right, daddy's going to be home in an hour. Let's look around. Let's straighten the house. Let's get things ready. Let's get all of our stuff put away. Hey, why don't you sit down, color a picture for dad? All right. I'm going to start supper. Why don't you guys color a picture for daddy while I'm starting supper? You know what? Are you listening to me? Preacher, this is 1950s things. No, this is 1611 things. These are 1611 things, all right? Now, listen to me. I'm going to help you with this, too. You know what? This whole idea, boy, we need to stop this. I'm going to help your marriage if you'll let me help your marriage, okay? This whole, I don't understand these kids being up at 10, 11 o'clock at night. That's a bunch of nonsense. Okay, all right? I mean, get them up in the morning early. Don't let them sleep in. Get them up. Put your kids on a schedule. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Put your kids on a schedule. Get them up. Get them the nap that they need if they need age where they need a nap. But do you know what? Do you know the number one reason you need to put your kids to bed early every night? So that you and your husband can have some alone time, some quiet time, some you time. Okay. Well, preacher, I've just never in this mother thing and house thing, and I'm just kind of an airhead, and I'm just kind of, okay. You've hidden behind that for how many years? Stop it. God gave you the responsibility to be a keeper of your home. And the honest thing, truth is, you could do everything I'm talking about starting this week if you decide to. Okay, stop being lazy, stop being unorganized, start being a helpmeet, and you get in control of that home. Get in control of the home. Stop letting the inmates run the asylum. That means kids get up when you say they get up. They eat when you say to eat. They eat what you say that they're supposed to eat. They go lay in their bed when you say it's time to go to bed. All right, stop letting the inmates. We're in the midst of the cult of the child. You better hear what I just said. The cult of the child, where the entire house is supposed to just be at the mercy of these little brats that run around just being little hellions. That's absolutely wickedly wrong. Wickedly wrong. And if you let them do it all day, don't think that you're going to flip a switch and they're going to all of a sudden behave different when dad comes in the door. Okay, and he shouldn't be the one that has to take care of this, okay? All right, I realize, dads, there's times when we have to be the heavy and all of that, but moms, you need to get tough. You need to get tough, okay? Now that takes us to the children, the teaching and training and caring for children. Put them on a schedule. Put them on a schedule. These brand new babies that are being born, man alive, sometimes they have their nights and is their day, and their days are their nights, and it takes a while to get them. But you know, you ought to begin to work towards that right away. All children needs their mom's help in staying on schedule. Wake up time, bedtime, play time, study time, work time, nap time, reading time, family time, bedtime. All should be planned. Delegating responsibilities. As soon as they're old enough, all children need chores. This will help you around the house. It will help them to learn diligence and responsibility. By the time a kid's 5, 6, 7 years old, if you're still going in and picking up their laundry and making their bed, ma'am, it's time to put an end to that. You are not their maid. Okay, you are not their maid. Okay, so you give them responsibilities, and you hold them to those responsibilities. Create an environment of peace in the home. Oh, you can do this. Create an environment of peace in the home. Home should be a peaceful place. Not to be a peaceful place. Folks, too many houses are chaos and war zones. It's crazy. You accomplish this by establishing and enforcing a code of peacefulness. You have rules. Let me give them to you. We don't fight, we get along. We don't fight, we get along. Okay, I'm going to have peace if I have to go to war. We don't fight, we get along. Period. You guys want to fight? Good. Then line up. I got an old-fashioned paddle. I'm going to make you woo the day. We are not going to have constant screaming and bickering and fighting in this home. We talk to each other. We don't yell at each other. Okay? We talk to each other. We don't yell at each other. You ever told one of your kids, you know, hey, go upstairs. Tell, you know, Hannah, go upstairs and get Tabitha for dinner. Tabitha! And what do you say? I could have done that. No, you don't yell. You get up and you walk in the other room and you speak to them and you go, you know what? If you're allowing yelling, now watch this. You can't tell them that and then not have the same example. Okay? If they're in a home where mom and dad's constantly yelling at each other, then guess what they're probably going to do? They're going to probably be yelling at each other. You know what? You ought to have that rule. If that's rules for the kid, that's rule for you and your wife also. We talk, we don't yell. Okay? We encourage each other, we do not put each other down. We encourage each other, we do not put each other down. Number four, we respect each other's person, possessions, and privacy. We respect each other's person, possessions, and privacy. That don't mean you just get to go over and walk in your sister's room and get whatever you want. Or walk on her side of the room. You know, a piece of tape on the middle of the floor can solve a lot of things, you know. But I mean that. You don't just let kids go. Are they going to grow up thinking that's okay? You just go, if you see something that doesn't belong to you, just grab it. Respect each other's person, their possessions, and their privacy. That means you knock. That means you don't just walk in on each other. You don't just burst into the bathroom on each other. Respect that. We pray for each other, and we pull for each other. Now, folks, listen to me. That ought to be the typical atmosphere of every Christian home. We don't fight. We get along. We talk to each other. We don't yell at each other. We encourage each other. We don't put each other down. We respect each other's person, possessions, and privacy. We pray for each other and pull for each other. We're a team. We're a family, and we're for each other. Amen. These rules must be modeled before the children in your interaction with your spouse. Mom and dad set the rules, but also set the right example. And so we're talking about teaching and training. Put them on a schedule, delegating responsibilities, creating an atmosphere of peace, but also make home a fun time, a fun place. Remember this, kids do need to be kids. Part of every day should include good, healthy recreation. By the way, get them off the couch. Get them outdoors. Get them outdoors. Get them outdoors. Teach them to use their imagination and to enjoy simple games and learn to entertain themselves. They shouldn't need mommy constantly watching and constantly entertaining and constantly, you know what, you've got things that you've got to accomplish, you've got things to do, you go out and you play right and you play with each other, and we've provided you some things. Now go entertain yourselves. Go entertain yourselves, all right? By the way, what's the advantage of doing all these things and getting them outdoors and running them hard and teaching them to use their imaginations? Remember this, tired children go to bed early. I mean, if you don't have anything for them to do, just say, I want you to do 20 laps around the house. Then come back and see me. And they probably won't come back and see you because they'll be afraid of the next thing that you assign them, all right? The cleaning, I'm talking about being a keeper at home. Cleaning and organizing the home. Let's talk about that. We talked about the self-maintenance. Talk about the responsibility to your husband, teaching and training, caring for the children. How about cleaning and organizing the home? Oh, listen to me, ladies. It's your responsibility. I said it's your responsibility. I motivated your husband to build those shelves. Now do something with them, all right? Cleaning and organizing the home. Everything in its place. Everything in its place. A place for everything and everything in its place. Organize your living space. Have a place for everything. Put everything in its place. Watch this. Don't be a pack rat. The smaller your home is, the more determined you must be to avoid clutter. Don't let things stack up. You're somewhat of a natural hoarder. They have a show about you now. They will come to your home. They will embarrass you. That means you have to learn to throw things away or give things away. I mean that. Well, I just can't part silly. Stop. That's silly. I said it's silly. Okay? Things mean too much to you then. Okay, if things mean more to you than the peaceful organization, proper organization and peace of your home, then stop hiding behind that and learn to toss things away. Okay? All right? Efficient, high-energy cleaning. The one thing that they do not have an app for. No house I've ever met is a self-cleaning house. Well, I've seen this little thing on TV where it's got this little round thing and it goes around and does all the carpets. Yeah, it's usually, you know, at the bottom of the stairs broken into a million pieces, all right? All right, efficient high-energy cleaning. You ought to be a cleaning machine. I'm going to tell you something. You come to our house on cleaning day and you get in the way of my wife, you will be bleached or you will be waxed or you will be pledged. You just better get out of her way. When it's cleaning time, it's cleaning time. When it's cleaning time, it's cleaning time. At least once a week, you need to give your house a thorough cleaning. A thorough cleaning at least once a week. That means every toilet, every sink, bathrooms cleaned, floors scrubbed, everything. Every room should be swept, vacuumed, dusted, uncluttered. You say, preacher, how do I do this once a week in one day? You do this because you're going to, at the end of every day, pick up and make sure the kids are picking up and making sure they're fulfilling their responsibility. Listen, it shouldn't be we don't do anything until cleaning day, and then we look around and we're just, well, that was not even worth trying. Every day before you go to bed, you ought to take care of the mess of that day. Okay, the mess of that day. Okay, kids, it's bedtime in a half an hour. Guess what? time to pick up everything. And while they're doing that, clean the kitchen up. Because in a minute, you're going to put them to bed, and then your husband's going to have some time, and he really does not want to set in an atmosphere of chaos, okay, with plates stacked around him that's been there 3 days. I'm just telling you, a man is not comfortable, and a man is not enjoying a home where he's sitting in the middle of chaos, okay? And you are to be the keeper of home. Now, gentlemen, let me say this. Listen to me. And you know what? Moms, they have all of these babies. And you know what? When it's bedtime and she's trying to clean up, then you carry the kids up to bed. Be a good time for you to have your time with them and read the Bible with them and pray with them. Don't be one of these guys that plop down, set down. Well, I go out and make the living so I don't shouldn't have to lift a finger at home. Shame on you. Good night. Help her out a little bit. But ma'am, your responsibility is to be the keeper at home. Your responsibility is to be the keeper at home. Okay, so learn to clean. Okay, I'm talking about learn to do it quickly. Learn to do it efficiently. Bathroom should be completely clean at least once a week. Make this less daunting. Every day do a quick pickup. Don't let any room turn into a disaster. A little every day makes cleaning day that much easier. Common sense, practical things, but we've lost them somewhere along the line. Meal planning and preparation. Have a plan. Say, preacher, all of these responsibilities, yeah. Like I said, I don't think you can do them on evenings and weekends. I think you ought to be a keeper at home. I think those kids ought to have priority. Meal planning and preparation, have a plan. Write out a meal plan for each week. This will help you when you go shopping. Buy what you need to fix the 21 meals you'll fix in the next 7 days. Healthy, make sure your family's eating healthy meals, happy meals. I mean, stuff that Dad's gonna, you don't think the two can go together? It honestly can. Healthy, happy meals. Good food can be good for you. Good food can be good for you. Don't turn your kitchen into a special order restaurant. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Well, my kid doesn't eat anything but French fries and chicken nuggets. He'll eat whatever he gets hungry enough. You know why? That's why the only thing he'll eat, because when he gets stubborn, you go and make them for him. You'd be surprised how they change their attitude after they don't eat for a day or two. Amen. Amen. Mealtime's not just eating time. Insist on having as many meals together around the dining room table. It's a time to interact. It's a time to catch up. It's a time to talk. It'd be a great time to read a little bit of the Bible together and pray together. I mean, listen, there's a lot these ladies do. Gentlemen, it's good for us to listen to this. All right, we've got more. Shopping. Make a list. We're not just talking about for food preparation, but you know what? There's going to be things you realize around the house that you need. My wife keeps a pad of paper with a magnet on the back stuck on the refrigerator, and you know what? When I say, hey, we're out of coffee creamer, or if I notice we're getting out of coffee creamer, I'll go over and write it down myself. If she thinks of something, she writes it down. You know, then at the end, every once in a while, you take that list, you go get it, okay? And that's how you do it, making a list. Learn to pinch the pennies. Be willing to clip coupons, compare prices, check store ads, shop wisely. Sometimes buy in large quantities when it makes sense to do so. Live on a budget, have a budget, buy the ingredients to make things from scratch instead of paying higher prices for less healthy, pre-prepared, microwavable food. Amen. I mean, everybody ought to have a couple frozen pizzas in their freezer. I'm not against it. But if you're living on that junk, then you're not doing your family a favor, okay? Discern between the needs and the wants. The needs and the wants. You know what? I could go to Proverbs chapter 31, but a lot of things that said about that virtuous woman is in her discernment to properly manage the finances of the home and to make sure that she's getting the things that she needs. Learn to say no to things that are unnecessary, okay? And let me just kind of conclude by giving you this. Characteristics of a great homekeeper: schedule, learning to live by a schedule, learning to adjust to your husband's schedule, learning to train your children to live and stay on their schedule. That's half the battle. I promise you, that's more than half the battle. Set priorities and schedule a time for each one. Organization. The best homekeepers learn early the importance of organization. Place for everything, everything in its place. Schedule time to reorganize your living space each week. That's called cleaning day. Get everything back to where it should be. Flexibility. Life doesn't always stay on schedule. Amen? Somebody want to say amen? Last week, we weren't on schedule. Okay? I told you when I taught this a year ago, January, that there's 40 normal weeks. I would say there's in the average home, there's 40 normal weeks in a year. 52 weeks, 40 normal weeks. That's not too bad. You're going to have another 12 weeks that gets thrown off because we did have a revival meeting, or it's vacation time, or it's Christmas, or, you know, things get thrown off. That's all right. You're going to be off schedule for a week. You do the best you can, then you get right back on schedule. That's why I said what I did this morning. You know what? I love big days. I love special meetings, but I like normal. I like regular. I'm looking forward to a regular week this, a regular Sunday. That's my favorite time. I like the fun things, the extra things. We need them from time to time, but be really good at the everyday, every week stuff. Flexibility, things are going to happen. It's going to throw you off course. You know what? You'll just have to schedule some times to catch up from time to time. And then let me give you this last thought. The characteristics of a great homekeeper: schedule, organization, flexibility, and J-O-Y, joy. You see, folks, if you're doing all of this stuff, but you know what? In your heart, you're bitter about it. You think God's unfair. Think your husband's unfair. Think the Bible's unfair. Think the kids ought to raise themselves. You feel like you're being ripped off. Then you know what? You can do everything right and still poison the spirit of your home. You know what? I think that some ladies need to come down and surrender to what God's will for your life is, just like we would want a preacher or a missionary to do. I'm talking about surrender to it and accept it and embrace it. Okay? Turn off the stupid TV set. Stop listening to the media. Stop listening to a bunch of women who are God haters on TV, you know, making you feel sorry for yourself because you are a biblical Christian woman. Take joy in it. This is the purpose of your creation. This is what God's given you to do. Man alive, don't walk around mad and bitter about it. Embrace it, love it, enjoy it. And if you'll do that, God will use you in a special, special way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time of instruction tonight. And Lord, just allowing us to hit some things that will help the homes of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I pray for the young wives, probably the group of people that I have the most admiration for at Blessed Hope Baptist Church are the young wives that are trying to juggle all of these responsibilities. And they're in their childbearing years, and they're raising little ones, and they're having babies. And Lord, they're taking care of hubby, and they're trying to stay busy and serving you. And Lord, I honestly can't comprehend it. It's hard for me to imagine. I know they need a special measure of grace. I know they need your help. I know they need their husband's understanding and encouragement. I know they need their children's obedience and cooperation. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that all of us would rally around through prayer and encouragement this group of special people at Blessed Hope. I pray the aged ladies would be those ones that come along and encourage them and bless them and say positive things of encouragement to them, because it's not easy. What they're trying to pull off, Lord, you've given them a great responsibility. But Lord, I've watched the rewards. I've watched the rewards. I've watched children who grow up and call their mom blessed. I listened to some of those young men from the pulpit this week say, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad, for just raising me according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I pray, Lord, that we would be an encouragement, but that the young ladies also would rededicate themselves to your divine purpose for their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.